In the not-so-distant future, an outbreak of Ebola will kill millions of people. Searching for a cure and genetically modifying it, scientists worked for years in secret government facilities on it. But then it all went wrong. The virus mutated. While Ebola once spread through skin-on-skin contact, its new form took that of an airborne pathogen. And infecting an unsuspecting host, it escaped into the world, spreading everywhere. The only chance of avoiding infection was wearing a rushed but new invention, that of a protective skin layer. This layer could filter the air coming into contact with the body, screening and separating the virus from other particles. The so-called ProSkin was mass-manufactured and distributed worldwide as fast as possible, but a massive part of the population had already either died or been infected. Moreover, the hurried development of the layer made it faulty. Its biggest drawbacks were a numbing effect as well as its uselessness to people which had already been infected. The latter were eradicated to avoid further infection areas where the ProSkin hadn't reached yet. And while there was some outrage in the beginning at those mercy killings, it soon died down. Most of the general public and the mass believed it to be for the greater good. Thinking themselves safe at last, people tried to go back to the way things were before the first fever. They only now began to discover the far-reaching consequences of their new skin, and many aspects of their lives had to change. Their standards had to be reviewed and adjusted to the new circumstances. As already mentioned, the ProSkin had the shortcoming of numbing its user. People noticed that whatever they did, they couldn't feel their own or each other's touch anymore. Against the advice of scientists, many people took off their skin. However, the pathogen was still floating in the air, existing in stasis without the pressing need for a host. And once the ProSkin was gone, all bets were off. The dramatic increase of infections sent the government into a renewed cleaning frenzy, one that erased the newly contaminated. The first and second fever had claimed the lives of so many that only a small percentage of Earth's population was left. To avoid another incident, it was decided to modify the skin so that only trained personnel would be able to remove it, and then only under controlled conditions. There should never be a third fever. Thus, a new version of the ProSkin was developed and produced. However, the changes made to the skin demanded it to be replaced once a year. Otherwise, it would simply grow into the human tissue beneath it, fusing with it. The slow absorption into the human body would disintegrate the skin and make it less than useless. After a period of 1 year, the chance of contamination would rise again. People were thus covered from head to toe in a transparent skin-like material, spreading through and enveloping the whole surface with the innards of the ProSkin, shimmering like a tattoo. To assure a perfect fit and to better attach a new layer, people were shaved. And while it let the normal skin breathe, new hair growth was impossible. People were essentially hairless, and their body's only protection from environmental changes was the ProSkin. To not forget the visit to an attachment center once a year, every skin was equipped with a counter that showed the time left to the skin's expiration date. People were allowed to take the day off once they presented their counters. Skin expirations were also noted in the databases of the attachment facilities. This way, people could be brought in for a changing by force if necessary. That was done by the newly formed health guard, a faction of the police with the purpose of preventing a third fever. Controlling and governing every area that had ultimately something to do with the ProSkin, the range extended quite far. Especially in the early days of the skin's usage, the health guard had its hands quite full with a mass of suicides. Many people reacted negatively and violently to the inability to feel touch, to not receiving the expected sensation of warmth and pure feeling. Not able to handle the new circumstances, they committed suicide by trying to detach their ProSkin. But this resulted in ripping off their own skin, not to mention the following contamination, a messy business. However, people in general began to adapt slowly and with varying success to the life-sustaining ProSkin. In the beginning, people still tried to behave normally, but touching decreased day after day, with casual touches the first ones to go. Instead of handshakes, people would only nod in greeting or bow respectfully. Casual brushes against somebody in the street, or the small touching of fingers while handing over a cup of coffee, were soon a thing of the past. People found the missing sensation so discomfiting that they shirked and practically dodged around each other in the street. Large gathering spaces were shunned and soon after obsolete. People would still meet in cafes or restaurants, but now there was enough space left on a table to accommodate another group. Orders were taken from behind a glass wall, and coffee to go wasn't handed over by the baristas anymore. The orders would simply be placed on a conveyor belt, where people could grab their coffee on the way out. Waiters were abrogated and replaced with a mechanism, which simply lowered place settings and orders from the kitchen above to the corresponding tables beneath. Afterwards, everything would be lifted up again and replaced. When friends went out together, the easy flow of conversation ebbed and became stilted. It had once been common to express something through a small touch, to reassure or comfort each other with the smallest gestures. Now the contact felt only hollow and false, which made a conversation in friendly company more of a burden than anything else. Expressing oneself and communicating in all forms was impossible. Conversations seemed for all involved flat and stale, especially if emotions were involved. Putting less effort and time into friendships and relationships, becoming numb to each other's feelings every day, people simply stopped trying. Romantic relationships in particular were affected a great deal. People grew tired of each other without the added benefits of sex, and many split up, each person going their own lonely way. And with many people not interested in others anymore, the birth rate was dropping quite low. To stop this alarming development, researchers and scientists tirelessly worked on a solution to the problem, and cortex cafes emerged. CCs were meeting places that made skin contact attainable again, even if it only happened in people's minds. The cortex cafes sprouted in the empty spaces of former gathering places. Once one entered a virtual reality via a connection device attached to the proskin, one could interact and touch as if there was none. People only needed to connect to the same cortex menu together, sit back and enjoy it. Needless to say, cortex cafes became popular pretty fast. But while partners could now touch again, birth rates were still declining. This problem could only be solved with a huge campaign promoting artificial insemination, which had advanced quite a bit since before the first fever. It was now possible to grow embryos outside a womb, in especially outfitted tanks. This way, both posed no risk of contamination to the parents and the children. The latter were outfitted with a proskin the moment they began to outgrow the tanks. The campaign was met with a huge success, and birth rates stabilized again. Still, people at the time went about their business with only the minimum amount of physical contact required, expressing their emotions through words or not at all. Mostly, they went by each other on the streets as if they were ghosts, not stopping to chat or listen, their bodies having grown accustomed to barely expressing anything at all. And the last facial twitches were mostly swallowed up by the proskin. All leftover emotions were experienced behind the closed circuits of cortex cafes, inside imaginary worlds. Another thing that drastically changed with the proskin was the fashion of the fever times. With the skin's ability to regulate the various temperature, there was no real need for clothes anymore besides modesty, the invention being by default nearly transparent. As time went by and people grew more accustomed to the effects of the skin, they began to wear fewer clothing. The only thing preventing them from going absolutely without was the feeling of being naked. However, with advancements being made to the opacity of the proskin, clothing became obsolete for people that could pay for upgrades. Only the less fortunate couldn't afford such extras, and so it became obvious at first glance who was and who wasn't wealthy. The latter wore the bare minimum to cover themselves, as showing off one's proskin had become a thing of pride and status. Glittering and shimmering naked, hairless people now strolled down street lanes, proudly showing off their skin. One could judge wealth by taking a short glance at added effects and details on a wearer's skin. Some people could even afford to change theirs multiple times a year in special facilities, dragging around in different layers every other month. People called them skinwalkers.